And in New York, if you're looking for somebody who's available for a drink on Friday night, there's only about 4 million people who are. So this Friday night, we sail up there, and it's myself. And would you believe who was in the crowd? And this will come as a tremendous shock to her husband, but what's he going to do? Fly out and beat me up? Mary Alice Williams was there. We went up with Mary Alice Williams, myself. I believe Dr. Frank Field was there. We all worked at Channel 4 together, and we went up to the Rainbow for a couple of pops before the update, the news update at 8:57:37. So now it's 20 minutes to 9, and I say, well, I got to get back downstairs for the update at 57:37. I said, you guys going to stick around, or is this it? And, you know, Mary Alice always said, I have to go home now. So she was leaving, and, you know, Frank Field, who was crazed then, was, you know, going out on the streets to, you know, discover new temperatures to report on his weather forecast. So I went back down to the studio and sitting there in the chair, you know, with my hair all combed nice and all cleaned up like I used to be. And Bill McCord comes on. Well, this is the NBC News update brought to you by American Express. Now from New York, here is Tom Snyder. Good evening, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, the stage manager falls across the desk and the cameraman comes out and hits him and calls him a name I can't say here. And all I can see is the mortgage and my kid and my career coming to a complete end before my eyes. And all of a sudden, Chuck Scarborough comes roaring in and he says, you're both a bunch of, and then he calls them a name and he starts the fight. And I'm thinking, oh my God. And then I look out of the corner of my eye and they're all starting to laugh, okay? Then I look up at the monitor and none of this is on the air. The movie's on the air. I said, what the hell's going on here? Well, they had me. They never told me, but the update was moved from 8:57:37 to 8:37:57. Got it? Clever, huh? So I'm up having the drink with Mary Alice Williams and Frank Field and whoever, and the update comes up, and Chuck Scarborough, who was always dying to get on the network when I was there, said, well, I'll take care of that for Tom. Since he's not here, I'll address the nation tonight. So Chuck did the update, and then, of course, they concocted the plan to nail me when I got downstairs, and boy, did they ever. It's the only one I've ever missed, though. Tim Conway is here tonight. Dorf. Tim Conway's Funny America. All kinds of nifty stuff with this. Now, the last time Conway was here, so help me, he had a guy with him, remember? Neither of you in the control room, Mike and Deb, were here. We've changed the whole crew around since then. And in the book, you'll find out why. the last time Conway was here, he had a guy with him named Rocco, who did nothing but light Mr. Conway's cigarettes. And at the time, Conway didn't smoke. Still doesn't, as a matter. But this Rocco would sit there, and all of a sudden, a cigarette would appear in Conway's hand. Rocco would get out the Zippo, zip, zip. And that was all the guy did, was light Mr. Conway's cigarettes. Tonight, Rocco is not here. God knows what Conway's bringing in here. Don't forget to ask Mr. Goodwrench for the quick lube. We'll be right back after these messages. We are back with Tim Conway, who is the star of Tim Conway's Funny America on ABC.
Semi-humorous America.
Semi-humorous America. Sundays at 8:30 Eastern right. And Pacific, 7:30 Central.
Mm-hmm. I was the only one in the room when we named the show, as you might well guess.
Tim Conway's right. Funny America.
Yeah. And the vote was close. Actually, it really was. It was a tie for a while, and then we
flip a coin.
For those who haven't seen it, and mm-hmm. That's me.
That's true.
What goes on? The cameras travel the country looking for humorous
or humor
situations.
Yes, difficult to find at times, as we proved today. Well, Henry the Fonzwinkler, and I don't know if you know Ann Daniel and the Fonzette Daniel, they do MacGyver here at ABC, mm-hmm. And they came to me and had a rather humorous idea for a show where you would just kind of almost not hidden camera type thing, but mm-hmm. Where sometimes a camera was exposed, sometimes it wasn't, and they said, let's go to ABC and see if we can sell them on this idea. And I said, if you do sell them on the idea, you'll never be able to do it because it's just impossible to do. So I went in along with them, and we talked ABC into doing it, and then came out of the room, and I said, now you know that we can't do this, and we've been doing it ever since. Mm-hmm. But it's...
Luckily, ABC is in a giving mood this
aren't year. They, though? Yeah. They're so kind. They really are, yeah, because Normally, when you plan things and try to pull something off, it never works. This one I really didn't care that much about, and now here it is, probably the most successful thing I'll ever do.
That they've ever had.
Very annoying. Yeah, right. Because I've been canceled a lot, and once by ABC when I was doing Rango, that very popular show in which I was kind of a Western marshal. Quite funny, too, might I add. And we had done, I think, 9 shows, and an executive from ABC came down, and I was canceled in a very unusual way. He came in and said, "Stop doing this." And we did. Just kind of shut down that afternoon, and we went home. So,
were you on the one... Where they canceled it in the
as it was coming across the country.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember we had
George Slaughter. Yes. George said, "This will be a funny idea." That was at ABC, too. Yes. Yeah. We had a...
Right here.
Right.
Yeah.
A premiere party in this very building the night it was on. And it was showing in New York. And we got word that it wasn't going well. In Cleveland, they shut it off. I mean, it was in 17 minutes. The guy shut it off. I mean, a guy who hadn't played the organ in years came down. And he played for 11 minutes. And they hung in a slider. And and by the time it got back to Los Angeles, it had been canceled right across.
Right.
So the cancellation party and the premiere party were very inexpensive because George just had the one party and one bottle for everybody then. We didn't have to come back.
Did it bother you when you were canceled?
No, I was so used to it. I mean, everything I've done has always been canceled. So, I was canceled by CBS one time by Perry Lafferty. He said, "Come over to the house." And I said, "Why?" I said, "I know where, you know." Because we were getting ratings, and it used to say an asterisk, see below, not that many sets in use that we were counting. And he said, "Come over to the house," and I did. And he said, "You know you're canceled." And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "It really wasn't worth the drive over here." But he said, "We want you to do another show in the fall."
I said, we can cancel.
Yeah, I said, "I really haven't thought about the cancellation that much. I should have some kind of depression or anything." He said, "Well, if you know, you want to go out on the porch and be depressed for a moment, but come back in and let me know about the other one." So I went right back in and did the other one for him, which incidentally, that got canceled too, yeah. Well, all of them have. Yeah, that's kind of the fun of the business. It really is. Because I never wanted to be in this business, and so I've had a pretty decent run, actually, for not wanting to do this.
When you were living back in the Midwest, you know, you were born in Willoughby, suburban Cleveland, and you worked in Cleveland with Ernie Anderson, who's been here, and you had this vision of eventually going to New York or Los Angeles and, quote, making it.
Right.
How is all this different from what you thought it was going to be in Cleveland when you started your career?
Actually, I didn't really have those visions. What I had was a vision of making enough money to pay for a car, and I worked for Big Wilson, who was a disc jockey in Cleveland at the time. He played the piano in the morning and had a canary that sang when he played the piano, and I wrote for him some stuff, and I had never been a writer, so it and he had never actually been a reader, so it worked out
very nicely. It worked out fine, plus the canary wouldn't
know the
difference anyway,
right? And most of the stuff is on the bottom of the canary page, you know, the papers in there. So basically, I really wasn't gunning to be in the business. And then Ernie Anderson, as you know, really is not all that bright. there are splinters in the windmills of his mind, believe me.
Right,
and he said, "Why don't we talk station into my being talent?" And I was the director, and Ernie was the talent. And as you know, I have never directed, and Ernie has no talent. So we had an hour and a half program every morning where he hosted a movie, and I couldn't back time movies because that means that the movie should end at the hour.
Right.
And I couldn't figure out how to do that because I never directed. So we never showed the endings of movies, and people would call, especially on Citizen Kane. They were really annoyed because they didn't see Rosebud and everything. And I said, "Well, why don't we show the ends of movies on Fridays?" And we did. And so on Friday, you could tune in and you see all the endings of these movies. So, as you can see, I really, I have no business in this business.
You know,
and
what's great about you, Conway, is that you give the rest of us hope, you know?
Yes, that's
you know,
true.
I think every now and again that I'm drifting off the edge of total insanity, but God, I'm straight.
If you have no talent,
really
you can make it in this business. There's no question. There's room for people who have no talent in this business.
As I demonstrate nightly here, showing the ends of movies on Friday. That, by the way, that's not a bad idea.
No, they thought it was really an in thing, you know, but in reality, I couldn't time those things.
You know what's interesting about that is I think about it. You know, I've got the satellite dish, which is like a super cable system because you get all the movies.
Yeah.
And like there are certain scenes in movies, if they're on the tube, I can't pass up that scene.
Yeah.
like the one now where Nicholson Waltz is basing her around in Batman at the top of the... I can't pass that up.
Right.
There ought to be a show on the network every week with just the great scenes from movies.
Sure, why should you have to wait an hour and a half?
Exactly.
You want to see Rosebud, boom, we got it on Friday. It takes about a minute and a half.
It's over, right.
You don't have to sit there and be bored with that.
We are continuing with Tim Conway, who is the star of Tim Conway's funny...
Amusing. Semi-amusing.
Semi-amusing, right.
Yeah, let's not qualify this thing yet.
Yeah. America's Funniest Tim Conway, weeknights on ABC. It's on Sunday, July 29, 8:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Now, a station break. We're back with Tim Conway. Tim Conway's A Funny America.
Semi-humorous.
Semi-humorous, 8:30 Sundays, 7:30 Central.
Uh-huh. I thought so.
Yep. Boy, I'm really stuck.
Yeah, well, you have a little lock up in your head.
Yeah,
well, that'll happen at this age. Yeah, I do that. Sometimes I go to introduce my wife, and I say, I'd like you to meet, and I cannot come up with that name. She'll remind me. I have it a little embroidered on her thing. It comes with age, Tom. It's pretty much over for you, but you're in on this every night, so you're going to have some problems. See, I just once in a while, sporadic for me. But I forget things quite readily now. And people, if I don't see people in the same uniform that I met them in, it's over. My pool man, or a guy who does our pool, or whatever they call those people.
Pool man
has been doing our pool for, I would say 5 years. And I went to dinner one night, and he was in a suit, and I had no idea who he was.
This guy was.
And he talked to me for a long time, and I said, if you're not in a swimming suit, I really basically don't know you.
Yeah. Right.
And try not to bother me.
The question that I had planned to try was, where is Rocco, the guy who lights your cigarettes?
That was Tony, yeah.
Tony, okay.
Was I smoking at the time?
Yes, you were.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
And by the way, so was I.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you quit too.
Oh, yeah.
No, you just quit. You bang. You said, I'm going to quit in one day.
Bang.
Yeah. That's what I did. I did, too, that. Tony still is he'll be out in, I think, 3 months. Yeah, he's coming out. On good behavior, too, might I add. He's a good kid. He really is. He'll be out with me again, and maybe I'll go back to smoking.
But, I mean, you blew us all away because we said, here was Conway, and he's got this guy that does nothing but light his own smokes for
him. But you know what? That's all Tony can do.
Really?
Yeah, he basically is quite demented. And I taught him to do that, to light the cigarette, so he's good. That's about all he can do, though. Yeah, and a little bit of wallet making, and that's it. Tried sandals. He can't get sizes, you know, but wallets and cigarettes. He's pretty good.
And I told you off stage that Bob Feller was here one night. Mm-hmm. Bob still lives back in Pepper Pike, I think, and and restores, are you ready for this?
Old antique cars.
And tractors.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Bob...
as opposed to new antique cars.
That's right. It's hard to restore a new antique car. Bob was supposed to be a guest on Ernie's show when we were doing this because he would also have little guests on the movies. And, of course, the show is so bad, we would always announce and say, like, Bob Feller is going to be on on this morning's show. And Bob called and said, you got to be out of your mind. I wouldn't be on that piece of crap. The next break, Ernie said, Bob called, and he's a little stuck in traffic. But he's going, and then Bob called and said, stop doing that. And then at the end of the show, Ernie would look over like at the door and say, oh, here's Bob. We're out of time. Sorry. Can't talk to you now, Bob. We'll catch you next week. And we did that for a week, too, when we couldn't get guests. And Bob wrote us a nice letter saying, stop using my name.
But weren't you telling me a story that Bob Feller's mother...
I don't know if this is true or not, but Bob's mother supposedly...
Why should it not be true? And why should it stop you if it isn't?
That's right. Certainly. Cleveland is famous for stories about Cleveland, as you know. And they say... they put an article in the paper every year saying, why do people make fun of Cleveland? And then list all the things that people say about Cleveland, which kind of renews the confidence of Cleveland. For instance, as you know, the river in Cleveland caught on fire.
Cuyahoga River, right.
And burned for 3 days,
right.
Which because it had so much oil in it from all the ships and everything. And the fire department went down and put water on the river to put it out. And then the chief, finally, after hosing down the river for about 3 hours, said, excuse me, I don't think we're really making any headway here at all. And so they went home, they talked about it for a couple of days as piers were burning, and the guy said, maybe we ought to smother it. It would be good.
Yeah, right.
So they put baking soda. But Bob Feller supposedly had never pitched, his mother had never seen him pitch. And it was 3 years, and finally they had a Sunday for her or something, a big affair. And Bob Feller's Mother's Day.
At she Memorial
came to at Cleveland Stadium. Bob pitched.
The big one there on the lake.
Pitched the first pitch, the guy fouled it off, and it went in the stands, and his mother in the head. Now that's the story.
And
they
to this
carried
day,
her on to this day,
no memory of
no
the
memory
event,
of
right?
the event.
We are with Tim Conway, who is the star of Tim Conway's almost funny,
very close,
almost funny,
almost
very
funny
close.
America.
We're pausing for a station break, and then we're coming right back with more of this stuff. You're on the radio show, and I'm Tom Snyder on Service 60 WICC. Dorf, the last time here, the Dorf Golf was just out.
Mm-hmm.
But now Dorf, there's what, a half a dozen Dorfs or more?
Dorf, we're going to do Dorf until...
nobody wants to buy
him. Nobody wants to buy him, and then we're going to do one where he's machine gunned. I think basically that would be about the easiest way to end that one. Yeah, Dorf Goes Auto Racing is out now. Mm-hmm. That's just come out this month, and then Dorf will go skiing, and Dorf will do just about anything that you can do on tape until Dorf builds a nice house for me in Encino, and then he's out of there. Yeah, we get him into another neighborhood. Yeah, that's kind of a fun character. Because that also was something that was never supposed to be any more than just an afternoon. We went out to Westlake Golf Course, and I buried myself in the dirt
right.
and played a little golf. And dogs did strange things to me while I was buried. And they left me there for lunch and everything. It's humorous, guys, that these special effects guys are. And lo and behold, it became something that we all know and love and cherish here in America now. So I'm very, very happy with it.
Do you ever get serious?
I hope not. No,
really.
No, I try not to be. No, I can't think of anything that really has brought us here. Well, I figure you're only here for a matter of moments.
I know, but I mean, you know, Tim, you read all this stuff in the paper. You get the Times in the morning and the new Supreme Court justice and the water shortage in L.A. and Pete Rose is going to jail. And
sorry, Pete's going to jail. That's the only thing that really annoys me. But what do you mean? Supreme justice and all that really doesn't bother me. I'm sorry, Pete's going to jail. Because I'll be going to jail someday soon, too. And I don't. See, Pete should have come out and just said yes, you know, right away. And then everybody would have forgotten about it. It's that no business. I mean, if anybody ever catches me, I haven't done that much. But if anybody ever does, I got to go, yeah, you're right. Yeah, boom. I did. Yes, absolutely. Sure. Now, what's next? You know, so then they blow right over it. But you tell them no that you didn't. And they get so upset and investigate you and everything. I couldn't do that, you know. But yeah,
that, like on election day, do you go to the polling place?
I haven't voted fought rather well for Kennedy to put him in, and then didn't allow him to finish the term, I said, well, I'm not going to shove another guy in there that I would like to see in there.
Yeah.
So, no, I haven't honestly voted since Kennedy. Who would you vote for? I mean, I don't see anybody, you know, since then that I really would have rushed out to somebody's garage with a flag on it to go in there where the dog is messed and mark my ballot.
People should know that in Los Angeles,
right,
the polling places are citizens' garages.
That's true.
With a flag hanging out there.
And a dog,
yeah, right.
That either bites you or does something on
your
shoe.
But you see, then you're the reason that when I go to my garage in my neighborhood, and there are like 789 souls in my little precinct, when I get there at 2 o'clock, I'm the third person of the day.
That's right.
Because a lot of people like you, you just don't go.
I don't go. No. But I also don't complain about it. I'm real pleased about everything. I really am. I'm so doggone happy. I don't care. I don't care who's president. I don't know who's president because I don't vote. It's Brush or whatever his name is now. So, great. So he's doing a good job. You know, that's fine,
true.
I guess.
Don't vote,
they
don't
all
complain.
Do the same thing. No, I don't care, you know. Do whatever you want to me. Put me in jail. I don't care. I don't have any rights, so why am I fighting for him?
What about the rights of your children and your wife?
Who cares? Let them get their own job. None of my kids are working. A guy calls up and says, your kid was hurt on the job. It's not my kid. None of them are working. How could he be hurt on the job?
So let's see. You don't vote. Do you go to high school reunions?
I went to one. Yeah. Not mine. I got to the wrong one. I knew nobody. I'm standing there staring at people. I said, gee, it sure have changed. It wasn't even my class. No wonder they've changed. So I'm not going anymore. I missed it by a month. I got to the wrong one. But what the heck? Yeah, I went to one. Yeah, you look at the old girlfriend and you go, gee, God, are you ugly? And, I'm no prize myself. But, I mean, whew, boy, people get old in a hurry there. I mean, those reunions are scary. Yeah. And nobody's really all that successful. Neither am I. So we all sit around and pretend.
Now, what? You know, here you go putting yourself down. You happen to be one of the most successful people in comedy in this town.
You're kidding.
Yes,
is that true?
No, yeah. You are.
Why am I? Oh, great. Well, then I guess I.
For
can
example,
go to
people when I was leaving the room today, they said at lunch, who will be in tonight? I said, Tim Conway. Said,
wow.
God, Tim Conway. That's pretty
exciting.
Great.
Yeah.
And I said, so you'll listen? They said, no.
No. No. No. No. No. That's the story of my career. Yeah. Gosh, she's great. You going to watch? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No,
hey, not a bad little show. Too bad.
Too
nobody was
yeah.
watching.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And when you go on vacation, well, you don't go on vacation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I go everywhere. Yeah, you know, that's a lot of junk about, you know, you can't go anywhere when you're a star, because I'm not a star. Well, I can understand Presley couldn't go anywhere, but I went to Disney.
Or Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny. Well, yeah, I guess they're categories, you know, but I spent a lot of time with the public. I went to Disney once, and I was sitting on a park bench, and one of our neighbors came up and said, how can you come to Disney? I mean, aren't you really bothered by people? And I said, oh, yeah, you know, but I suffered. Now, nobody had asked me for my picture or autograph or anything. I had actually forced my autograph on several people because I felt that it was necessary to do it. And a Japanese gentleman came up to me, and he said, you take picture? And this lady was talking at the time, and I said, sure. I said, you know, they do come up and ask.
Yeah.
So I got up, and I put my arm around his wife, and he said, no, you take picture. You take picture me, my wife. So he gave me the camera, and I took a picture of him and his wife. Get out of here.
We are with Tim Conway, who is the star of Tim Conway's
Semi-humorous
America.
Now, you know that guys who are writing newspaper reviews already are writing Tim Conway's funny America. Ha ha, you think this is funny where our country's in trouble. I mean, they all think of those, you know, reviews long before they see the show, probably, I would imagine.
You don't fear the critics, though, do you?
I haven't read
a critique since the last time I voted.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, 27 years ago was the last one I wrote. They said that Tim Conway has made the same impression in show business as a super chief going through Elkhart, which is so I stopped reading them, you know, because I wanted to kill the guy and blow
sure.
up his kid and everything, and I said that's silly. So I have not read a review. I worked with Tom Poston for a couple of summers doing The Odd Couple, and he has not read a review on himself in 24 years. People don't believe it because they say, oh yes, you go in a room,
sure.
you go in a closet, you read things. I really don't I haven't read one in 24, so I have no idea what the press is saying about me. You know, if you go out and do a play and at the end the curtain closes and people boo and hiss and come on stage and tear your clothes off and everything, you know that you're not really very
true.
Good. You've annoyed an entire audience.
Right.
But they don't do that, then you know, well, you know, I guess I didn't know all my lines.
Yeah, like if the curtain comes down and everybody applauds
or stands up.
Yeah.
Normally they're standing up to leave, but I stop them and, you know, yell fire and they turn around, so it looks like a standing ovation. It's great.
Tim Conway's Semi-Funny America.
Yes.
Coming up Sunday night, ABC Television Network, 8:30 Eastern and Pacific, 7:30
Central.
Yeah.
What's with those central people?
Did you know, like when I was a kid, I didn't know there was such a thing as central time, that we were different from the rest of the world?
I didn't either.
No, I thought we were normal people.
Yeah, strange.
Now we create inferiority.
That's true
people.
For those people. Just in one little area, one little pocket. They're all
little tiny.
They go to bed earlier because they see everything earlier. They miss an awful lot, I'm sure, during the course of the day.
They have more time for doing those things that we weren't allowed to do as kids.
Yes.
In the central time zone.
Yep.
There's more of that
to
in
come.
The central time zones.
Yes.
People do a lot more yay boxing.
More children there.
Yes.
Yes.
Not necessarily in these times.
No.
Back when we were doing it, more children.
Yes.
Yeah, because then it was a no-no. We'll be right back with Tim Conway after a station break. Tim Conway's Funny America.
Semi-humorous America.
Now, wouldn't you think funny. that if the executives at ABC were listening, and one of the reasons I do so well is my management never hears this.
That's good. Yeah. You're in good position.
But wouldn't you think that if they heard it, that they would say, you know, this Conway, he's a troublemaker.
That's true. They should, too. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm really, I'm one of those guys who'll stay home for more money and all that and walk out and do a lot of nasty things to the network. Yeah. If I knew who the people were, I don't know the executives at ABC. That's probably my fault.
Well, they change so rapidly.
They do. Yeah. So I don't go to Hollywood parties. I went to one Hollywood party and a car park came up. What I thought was a car park. It was a guy in a red coat and he said, can I take your car? And I said, yes. And he did. And it was 30 days later when they found it. It was in Mexico. That's the truth. We went for a party.
You're
Steve,
kidding. No.
Stephen Eady. And the guy came up in a red coat and he said, can I have your car? And I said, yes. And that was it. I said, do I need a ticket? He said, I don't think so. And seriously, he took it. It was gone. They found it in Mexico. Well, I thought it was so clever. I really didn't get annoyed.
Have you seen this show in living color?
Yes, I like
Fox?
That.
Yeah, it's a funny show. Like you would, and so would I.
So would I. Variety's back, and they're not telling anybody. That's great.
But they had the great sketch about the two black dudes who says, how do you get a Mercedes? And they says, and he says, you put on the red jacket, you go to a party in Beverly Hills, they bring you a Mercedes and give you $10 and say, please take good care of the car. And you say, I sure will, and just drive it off, you know?
Yeah, that's actually what this guy did. Yeah. Just moved out with it. Yeah, I like Living Color. That's good. I hope that goes on for a while.
Me too.
Yeah, they kind of snuck in and did Variety without saying anything to anybody, and because everybody said Variety is dead, and these guys are doing it, so I guess they've reincarnated it for a while.
And you don't share that view, do you?
Variety's dead?
You know who else does Variety on TV? Super Dave Osborne.
Yes.
He sneaked it back on Showtime.
Strange as it may seem, I guess in this Tim Conway semi-humorous America, we're kind of doing a Variety. You know, we went to Minneapolis, and I was standing out. They had been a big thunderstorm the night before, and we were doing this thing in Minneapolis, and I put on a hard hat and one of those coats that light up at night, and was standing out on the road, and people were crossing from one building to to the next. It was a big construction area.
To another. Crossing from one building
to the next. And did I say next?
Nuxt.
I did, yeah.
Nuxt on Channel 7.
Nuxt on Channel 7.
Nuxt on the news, right.
PBS on the news. And I told these people that a 220 line had been broken underneath the street, and in order to cross, they would have to ground themselves because we were getting shock off the street. And they said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, on oil trucks and things like that, they drag a chain in back in case lightning hits them. Yeah. And they said, fine. And they said, we don't have a chain. I said, well, I happen to have some with me. We cut chains about a foot and a half long, and we would hand them to these people. And, of course, they'd have to bend over to drag them across the street. And we had 30 people dragging chains up and down. I actually stopped at one time and looked. And all up and down the street, people are walking in and out of stores, dragging these grounding chains. And families who had three or more, I'd say, you know, hold on, and the guy in the end dragged the chains. And they would do that. And a little kid would be dragging the chain, and the parents would be hanging on. And that's kind of what this show is about. So it's, in a sense,
it's
semi-funny. Semi-funny. Yeah. It's semi. See, I'm laughing. I don't care about an audience. It's not important for an audience to laugh at what I do. If I can chuckle myself, I think that's worth it.
I felt that way for years, you know. Yeah. That if I like it, that's all that matters.
That's all it needs. You know, you only need one guy, yourself. You know, I have very small audiences. I entertain myself.
30 people with grounding chains.
Yep. Walking around Minneapolis. Then one lady came out of a store and
said... But nobody said, well, why do we have to do this?
Well, so you ground yourself in case there's electrical shock. Yeah. Bang, you got the chain. Yeah. It'll go right back into the ground. Yeah. And everybody bought it. Yeah. And one lady came out of a store and she said, you know, I'm going to be in here longer than I thought. Can I hang on to the chain? And I said, yes. And we moved out. We were through. So somewhere in Minneapolis is this lady walking around still dragging this chain with her.
However, has lightning touched her?
No.
She's grounded.
Right. Then we went to a supermarket, and I was standing next to the produce department and giving out tickets for people who were parked in the celery aisle, because we had a red line there. We said, that, you know, the red line is no parking, and the white zone is for loading over here, and giving people tickets. And they were paying the tickets when they were going out. So you can do things like that still.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, we don't harm people. We just kind of do silly little things with it. They want to go along with it, fine. If they don't, we torture them.
Somebody told the story here one night that every year in America, you know this dog for the beer, Spuds?
Yeah,
McKenzie,
Spuds, yeah.
He gets about 10,000 letters a year.
Mm.
Now, just think about this. 10,000 people.
Wow.
Educated people sit down and they write a letter to a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing part is they think that the dog is going to answer the letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, Mom, did my letter from Spuds come back today? You know, I mean... If they would write to the brewery, I could understand.
Yeah.
Or to August Bush, who's even dead. But, but to the dog.
Dog, yeah.
And
then you're in trouble.
The dog's going to read the letter.
Yeah. That's my audience. That's my boys.
So what else besides grounding chains, or was that the only thing in Minneapolis that you
did? That was one of the things in Minneapolis that we did. Yeah, we, you know, I pose as this fashion police, and we stopped people for bad clothing. And we stopped a lady, and I said to her, excuse me, but that coat that you have on, we were in Salt Lake City, and I said that, you know, the coat doesn't look too good, and we're going to have to give you a citation of 411 for wearing a bad coat. And she said, well, I've had this coat. I brought it from Wisconsin or wherever. And I said, is that an out-of-state coat? And she said, yes. And I said, is it registered? She said, no. And I said, well, then we have to cite you for registration. But she said, it goes with a suit. And I said, where are the pants? And she said, I lost them. I said, did you file a missing pants report? She said, no. I said, okay, could you just sketch the pants, and we'll put it on the side of a milk carton? And the lady stood there sketching these pants. And at some time, you have to say to yourself, wow. Whoa.
But don't they know you, don't they?
Well, I wear various disguises. It's funny. I was dressed as a waitress, and I was serving coffee to the guy, the truckers out here in Ontario, the biggest truck stop in the country. And nobody said, aren't you, you know...
Yeah.
But I would do something to them. We were serving Nouvelle Cuisine. You know, these guys come in to eat the meals. You can't carry one of the meals that these guys eat with the gravy on it and everything.
Right.
And we would serve...
probably no quiche on the plate.
No. Oh, no. We would serve 2 quail eggs and a little piece of bacon about an inch long to them as a special, $1.95, as Nouvelle Cuisine and little toast points. And... These guys would get a little annoyed because they got, you know, 400 miles to get in before noon.
That's
and
right.
Now they got 2 quail eggs.
And they're hungry.
Yeah.
Right.
But nobody said, I walked away from one guy and he turned to the other guy on camera and he didn't obviously know they were being filmed. And he said, that is the ugliest woman I have ever seen in my life. So I'm not a great looking guy, but if I had been a woman, I can imagine what they would have gone through.
We are with Tim Conway. We will continue after these messages. We're back for the last precious moments with Tim Conway, who is the host of Tim Conway's Semi-Funny America, ABC TV, Sunday, July 29th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time, 7:30 Central.
Right.
In all the things that you've done with Carol Burnett and with Corman and with Poston on the Road and The Odd Couple... What, in your view, is the funniest piece of business that you've ever been involved in?
I think on the road, we had and you'd have to see them physical things worked out with Tom Poston, who was a marvelous performer. I think maybe the funniest thing that I can recall doing was the dentist sketch with Harvey, where I was a dentist, and I stabbed myself with Novocaine in the hand, and that became numb, and then I stabbed myself in the leg and in the head and everything, and just eventually became immobile. Now, Harvey didn't... So he remained in the chair, in this dentist chair as a patient, and in total hysterics for about 11 minutes. As long as I could have stood there just staring at him, he would still be in that chair today, I'm sure. But I finally broke up and went sideways, too. But I think that's probably the single funniest thing that we've ever done.
It is said in the business that Harvey Korman cannot be near you without starting to laugh. Is that true?
Harvey's a very sick man, as you know. he's not well. He should be committed.
But you do have him, don't
That's
you?
That's true. Yeah. Yes, I do. Well, in the Burnett Show, if you ever watch the reruns, if you will watch the fact that I never look Harvey in the eye.
No,
because as soon as I do, he goes. So I'm always looking away, and then suddenly I will turn to him and look him straight in the eye, and you will see the smile come on his face. He couldn't stand to look me, and I knew I had him. And sometimes I would do a whole sketch without laughing at or looking at him, and he would laugh because I wasn't looking at him.
But when you guys and your wives, when you go to dinner or wherever, can you get him there, too?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He is...
didn't you tell the story of American Airlines to Hawaii, where you absolutely nailed him, where you played the part of the ticket agent?
Yes, yeah, where I happened to be standing next to American Airlines counter, and a Japanese chap came up who didn't speak very good English. I can understand that, because he was from Japan. They don't do that very well. And he said, you are seeing Yao Chunga, something like that. And I happen to look like I work for American Airlines. I said, give me your ticket.
Still do.
And right. And I said, are you going to be eating on the plane? Yes. And I stapled a little thing to his little ticket, and then I said, are you using the restrooms? Yes. Your wife traveling? Yes. Kids? Yes. Where do you live? Yes, yes. And with each thing, I stapled something to his ticket. Will you be using the restroom during the flight or after the...
And yes, Corman is watching.
Corman is watching. And I stapled... When this guy walked away, he had 40 staples in his ticket and a bunch of... It looked like a turkey when he walked away. And I'm sure that he is somewhere in Hawaii still trying to get the staples out of his ticket to go home. And Harvey did go a little sideways on that. Yeah.
The show is called Tim Conway's
Semi-Humorous
America.
America.
It'll be on the air Sunday night, July 29th at 8:30 p.m. Tim's going to be watching. I'm going to be watching. Beyond that, folks, it's up to you. I mean,
it's always a pleasure coming here, Tom. I'm serious. I didn't realize that it had been that long, you know, because you're a good interviewer. Now, this hour flew by for me. I've never had a happier hour.
I loved every hour of it myself. Tim Conway, Sunday night on ABC TV. This is the Friday Night Radio Show.
Do we get paid for this?
Thursday night. Thanks for listening.
No money. There's nothing. There's a shirt, T-shirt, Oreos, anything.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Tom Snyder. This is the radio show now for Tuesday night. It's the 25th of September, 1990. Live and direct from ABC Radio and Television out here in Los Angeles, California. And the star, Leslie Nielsen, is here tonight. Leslie Nielsen has been here twice before. He is one of the good guys in the business. He will help Showtime celebrate the 20th anniversary of National Lampoon Magazine as the host of a stand-up comedy contest on the cable television network. It'll premiere on Showtime on Friday, October the 12th at 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. This is late at night, isn't it? Yeah. It's from the Sahara Resort Hotel in Las Vegas. It's a 60-minute special. It'll feature the winner of National Lampoon's Comedy Playoffs. Leslie will be joined by a celebrity judging panel of Nina Blackwood, entertainment reporter for MTV and Entertainment Tonight, Annie Bloom, a former anchor person for NNTN, not necessarily the news, Jane Carr, who plays Louise on Dear John, and Stephen Furst. We'll talk about that and more with Leslie Nielsen on the radio show for Tuesday night. Leslie Nielsen is always a great guest. I saw him on the air the other night with Rick Dees. And, you know, one thing that Nielsen does that's funny is he makes the noise. You know, we all know what the noise is. It's the noise of passing gas. And he's got a thing. As a matter of fact, I have one now, and a number of people around the office have one. And in our travels, we make the passing gas noise in restaurants and every place else. I guess to, you know, why do people do that, you know? But we do it to watch other people react to it, and then we start laughing, and sometimes they join us in the laughter, and sometimes they don't. Anyway, Nielsen comes out with Rick Dees, okay? And all of a sudden, you hear this noise, you know? And, you know, Rick Dees looks shocked. His wife has a dozen of them, for heaven's sake, you know? And I was talking with Leslie about this outside, and maybe we can do this tonight. Why is that noise always so funny? I mean, to most people, the noise of passing gas is truly a funny, funny sound. In fact, it's my contention that when people stop laughing at passing gas, they started wars in this world. Award-winning radio, right? So Snyder and Nielsen were around there last night talking about flatulation and demonstrating different kinds. You know, award-winning radio, right? National Radio Festival, best program in the world. We got that one last year, right? For coming on the air and talking about, you know, passing gas on the air. Yes, sir. Adult people, grown-up radio, national talk radio, call in, give your opinion. Jeez, you know, and we get money for this. Anyway, Leslie Nielsen can currently be seen in the movie Repossessed with Linda Blair, and this is a spoof of The Exorcist. Remember, we had Linda Blair booked, but she got the flu. She was going to come in here, you know, vomit, turn her head around, and pee on the floor, but, you know, it never happened. So maybe maybe Leslie will do the next best thing. Anyway, I have no idea what I'm saying. Here is a depressing thought. 3 months from today is Christmas. It's depressing only because 1990 is almost in the hoosegow. If you drive past certain car dealerships now, you'll find no cars in the showroom because the 91s are right around the corner. Don't you love it when they say, come on in and buy these 90s because we have to make room for the 91s. What if we didn't buy any 90s? They'd still make room for the 91s. So 3 months from today is Christmas. 1990 is almost a memory. I was listening to the radio coming in this afternoon, as I'm wont to do, to prepare myself for the broadcast here. And I was listening to a man named Tom Hatton, who does entertainment reporting for CBS in Los Angeles. Oh, my God, he said CBS. And CBS won the week, the television week, by the narrowest of margins. It's the first time that they have won a seven-day week since 1987. It's been NBC since then. CBS increased its audience 5% opening week this year over last year. ABC increased its audience 1% this opening week over last year, which brings us to the McMillions network. NBC, in the first week, opening week this year, is off 20%. Now, you don't have to be a genius to figure out why they want you to go to McDonald's every day and get a coupon and come home at night and watch their shows to win $1 million. It's a cinch you ain't going to watch for the shows, but for the million, you might watch. Last night, they had one of our listeners said they had the $1 million giveaway in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, who will soon be moving to Long Beach, I'm told. And, by the way, that show's in trouble. Now, let's go through the NBC schedule for tonight and see if we can guess which show they'll give away the $1 million in. Let's see, Matlock. It's Matlock and the Heat of the Night. Those are hit shows, aren't they? Huh? Those are big shows. Heat of the Night is what? The guy, Carol O'Connor, and Matlock is Andy, what's-his-face, Griffith, yeah. These guys keep coming back like a song, I'll tell you, you know? Anyway. So you don't have to be a genius to figure out why they're giving away the $1 million. And I said, as I said last night, they want you to go to McDonald's in the afternoon and then go home at night and watch NBC, and this could be dangerous. Those two events in any one day could have a negative effect on your life. So CBS is the winner for the first week of the television season. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Barbara Walters. Happy birthday to you. Barbara Walters' birthday's today. She's 61 today. I say it very quietly. Wow. 61. Wow. Barbara looks very well, though. Doesn't look a day. I'm not going to say it because Barbara would not have a sense of humor about that. Plus, she's been very nice to me, and I like Barbara Walters a great deal. She's 61 today. Wow. Hey, I'm 54. I'm no spring chicken. We will be right back with Leslie Nielsen to discuss the Showtime salute to the 20th anniversary of National Lampoon, which it seems to me has been around for more than 20 years. Ah, I'm thinking about Mad Magazine, huh? That's been around for more than 20 years. So is Barbara. Now these messages. We are back with Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, is that really true? I'm going to say.
Vomiting, that's what you said earlier, you're Linda Blair. Are you actually going to put that on radio?
Yes, I am, but you can't say the word. Flatulation you can say, but the other you can't.
Oh, you can't?
You can't.
Why is that they can say it in Milwaukee then?
Because in Milwaukee they do it a lot more than they do here.
They did a whole show on that. I was on guesting on a show with Reitman and Miller there in the morning, and they did about 2 hours after I left.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I can assure you they use the word. So we have to use passing gas?
Yeah.
That's where you floor it and you make a sharp left turn? Is that, that's the only way you can pass gas?
I think so. I don't know. Maybe the word's okay, but it's, you know, when you're a kid, there are words, and that was one of them. That was always one of them that you couldn't say in mixed company. So I don't.
I think that's really precisely it. It's because you don't know whether you can or you can't, and that's what happens with the actual act itself. It walks the line between embarrassment and anger and good humor.
All right, I want to get to it in a second, but I want to take care of business with you here. The National Lampoon Salute, October 12th on Showtime.
Comedy playoffs. There are 31 comedians.
I cannot believe that the Lampoon is only 20 years old. It seems like it's been a part of our life forever.
And well, it should be.
Yeah, as well, it should be. Yeah, that and passing gas.
I just said that. And well, it should be.
I know.
Are you stealing my stuff?
No, you're stealing your own stuff.
But it's a fun show. It was a lot of fun. It was hard work, but a lot of laughs. A lot of very talented people.
Yeah. And is it comedy that is for the whole family, or is it adult-type comedy?
I think it's adult comedy for the whole family. I think so.
Yeah. Now, this picture, you know, Linda Blair was going to come in here.
Yeah.
Notice how I'm through with Showtime now.
That's it. It's all done.
I'm all done with Showtime.
Your comedy playoffs, October 12th.
12th, yes, Columbus Showtime, Day, yeah. Right. Yeah. He Discovered America. You'll discover comedy on Showtime, 11 p.m. Eastern. Linda Blair was to come in here and talk about Repossessed. I guess she spoofs herself in this picture.
It's just, the picture is absolutely dumb and stupid, as was Naked Gun. That's what I say, it's dumb and stupid, but it's wonderful. Now, we're going to find out, you know, just what degree of wonderfulness Repossessed might have.
Right.
But it's dumb, and it's stupid, and it's fun, and there's a lot of laughs in it, and we're just waiting for the results.
Okay, but now, you know, when the Naked Gun came out, we saw you writing that bullet in every newspaper in America. They did a big campaign to promote Naked Gun. Yeah. I haven't seen, and unless I'm missing it, Leslie, a great deal of promotion for...
Well, it's a different production outfit and, different techniques in marketing. And as everything goes today, it's just how you sell something, how you market it. The same thing happened with Police Squad on television. The way it was marketed.
No, it didn't work on television.
It didn't work
because there was too much there.
And if they had left it on longer and promoted it more, maybe, I don't know.
You know, I think the last time you were here, the first time that I met you before the microphones here, we talked about the years that you were a very serious actor in episodic television. You know, I'm serious. You were a romantic lead, and we'd see you, having these problems with women and living a normal life as a husband and father, and that people didn't know about your comedy talents. Would you want to go back now and do something of a serious note now that you've demonstrated? You know, you came from that sort of thing, not serious actor, but straight guy to a comedic actor.
But I always,
now to go back.
Yeah, I always, had buckets of fun. I always had a lot of laughs behind the camera. And comedy has always been special for me, but it's a kind of a dream you have. And as long as you don't put it to the test, then you can always look and you say, well, I could do, if you just put me in there, I can do that too. But day they'll find out.
Yeah.
So you never put it to the test, and therefore you keep your dream. Because if you try it and you find out you can't quite do it as well as you thought you could, then the dream is over.
Comedy came very natural to you, but
I didn't know it at that time. And Jerry and David and Jim, when we did Airplane, they spotted me, and they spotted me for what I was—a closet comedian.
Where did they spot you?
They spotted me about 100 yards, and I kept on going, but they caught me. But no, they spotted me for being a comedian.
But I mean, what did they see you in? Did they see you in a TV show?
No. When I say no, in the picture.
Before they made Airplane.
Airplane made no difference about seeing me do anything. They did Robert Stack, Lloyd Bridges, and Peter Graves. They just knew that they saw me in doing serious drama. That's why. That's where they spotted me.
They saw you doing a serious drama.
And they knew that if I did their lines, along with Robert Stack and Peter Graves and Lloyd Bridges, if we did their lines as seriously as we did the other stuff we were doing, it would be funny.
Now, the one I've often wondered about Airplane is, they have the guy in the malaria bed, and they say he thinks he's Ethel Merman, right? And then they cut to the scene, and Ethel Merman comes on. Yeah, and she sings, "Light the Lights," Somebody went to Merman and said, there's this scene in the picture where this guy's... How did she ever buy it,
I think it's because it's so outrageous and it's such fun. And naturally, she read the script. And you can't read that script. People like Ethel Merman, showbiz, they have got to have, or have had, in her case, wonderful senses of humor.
Yes, she did.
Oh, yeah. And so
the other scene that I love is where the nun is reading Boy's Life, and then they cut to the kid, and he's reading Nun's Life with them. Anyway, on to Flatulation, Passing Gas, Call It What You Will, with Leslie Nielsen, Raspberry Tarts, after a station break. We are back with Leslie Nielsen, who will be on the Showtime Television Network on the 12th of October with the National Lampoon 20th Anniversary Comedy Salute.
Yes, indeed.
October 12th.
Very funny stuff.
Now, I mentioned I saw you, every time I see you on television, you've got the whoopee cushion with you, and you make the noise, and everybody starts laughing. Arsenio laughed, Rick Dees laughed, and on the Dees show,
You made public. You gave away your own joke, really. That you really aren't flatulating, but you have a little device, and it's a sound effect that you make.
It
as
really
a joke.
Depends on how you know people handle that. Most of many times, I'll be asked to show so that they, you know, people want to make sure that to the audience that it is not really happening for real. You know, wherever it is, it is in fact a joke.
Yeah,
and then when you let that out and that it is a joke, then everybody feels easier about it. But in this case, I showed it because I guess I've become accustomed to it. You know, so I don't care whether anybody knows or not, though. I don't try to make sure they understand I'm having, you know, making a joke.
I remember the time the guy called in here, the first time you were here. You were at some golf tournament, as I recall, in Houston. He was with you for 54 holes, and he said all you did was pass gas for 54 holes of golf.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Well, did he say it in a nice way, or was he upset?
Anyway, so let's give the audience just an example of your skill here at telling a joke, so to speak.
At telling a joke?
Yeah.
You want me to? Well, I've told it before, but you
No. Just.
You mean a joke?
Just like you're in a restaurant, and all of a sudden you make the following sound.
Oh, I see. Well, I remember I was listening to a man who was talking about sailplaning, and he was talking about it up near the golf course in Northern California, or Northern L.A. here. And he says, you know, they make a great deal of noise with that wind going by. And I said, the wind, yes. Wind. Wind really does make a
noise.
Lot of noise
yeah.
going
yeah.
by.
Yeah.
And I just looked straight at him, and he sort of looked at me. And I said, you know, it was amazing to me, because you think it's going to be so quiet.
Yeah, right.
The wind going by yeah. really makes, and he looked again, and now I look over at my friend who's sitting next to him. He doesn't know what's happening.
Okay, now, when you do that thing, what happens at the table or people around you? What's going on at this moment? Are people starting to laugh, or are they a little bit concerned? What do you think is going through people's
mind? I think what happens, the first thing that goes through people's mind is Mayday, mayday, mayday. You just heard a you-know-what, mayday. And then the next question is, who did it?
Uh-huh.
And then followed very closely by, will they think it was me?
Right.
And then followed by the killer.
Will
it smell?
Right.
When you see people getting up to move or leave or say, excuse me, I have to step out for a minute,
uh-huh.
then you know that they've come to the third question.
Tell the story you told me in the break of the theater where the large lady was in the front row.
Oh, well, I was in Branson, Missouri, and that's, you know, country music capital.
Yep.
And the Hager twins, John and Jim,
oh, sure,
performing.
Sure.
Yeah. And we're friends, and they said, hey, Leslie, and I was out. He said, come on up on stage. So I came up on stage, and I started to fool around in just a minute or two, and I finally really got a beauty off. And there was a lady in the front row who was very much overweight, and she started to laugh. And she laughed and began to shake. And the more she shook, the more sliding she... And she finally slid right out of her seat
yep.
in the front row onto the floor.
And, of course, the minute she began...
The whole audience, everybody was gone.
You know, it's funny. When you were here the first time, you know, you did that. And then you showed me the device, and we ordered some here. And I keep one around the studio.
Yeah.
Do you know who went crazy for it?
Who's that?
So help me God, was Geraldine Ferraro, who ran for vice president. She came in, and I let one go with the machine.
Oh.
And she started giggling and laughing. It's a great leveler, by the way.
You know, my brother, oh, yes, indeed.
Let me do a commercial, and then we'll find out why Leslie Nielsen became so interested in this topic. We'll be right back on the...
why I became interested.
Right.
Who's
after
asking
this?
All the questions?
You're on the radio show, and I'm Tom Snyder on Service 60 WICC. 60 WICC with Leslie Nielsen, who is one of the stars of a brand new motion picture, which is called Repossessed with Linda Blair. It's in the theaters now, and he'll be on the air October 12th at 11 p.m. on the Showtime Television Network as the host of the 20th anniversary salute to National Lampoon magazine. Now, have you made the Naked Gun number 2 yet?
No, we're supposed to begin November 15th. But I'm in negotiations with Paramount Studios.
What do you mean you're in negotiations?
I am in negotiations.
Leslie, you're going to do it.
Well, I would love to do it.
No, they want you to do it, and you want to do it.
Well, I mean, if they want to do it, then let them prove that they want
it. They will prove it to you.
Oh, no, they have to come to prove it to me. No, it's just, oh, of course, yeah, are you kidding? I love the humor. I love Naked Gun. I love that humor. I'm working with David Zucker, and it would be the saddest day of my life if I did.
You know who's a nifty guy that you worked with, and that's... Ricardo Montalban.
Oh, yeah. You know what they used to call Walter Pigeon?
No.
They called him the Golden Gentleman.
Really?
And he really, if you think about it.
Really, yeah.
One of the most charming men that I worked with. And I refer to Ricardo as the Silver Gentleman.
That's right.
Golden has been taken.
Yeah.
But Ricardo, he's the Corinthian leather. Corinthian leather. The Silver Gentleman.
And by the way, a gentleman he is. You know, there was a commercial he did years ago for some kind of instant coffee. And you would see him taking a sip, and then he would extol the virtues of this instant coffee. Well, there was an outtake where it's so hot, okay? And he uses the name of the Lord. He says, that's hot coffee. He denied using the name of the Lord. He said, I would never do that. I would never take the Lord's name in vain, you know, because he's so proper. He's very fastidious man, but he's very, very funny.
You know, when we did Naked Gun, there was a line in the aquarium sequence where I, you know, tell him that O.J. Simpson is alive, and, you know, he had given orders that...
Is this O.J. where the fish is biting you, or the crab?
Where the fish
crab
is biting me.
Yeah.
And you could see his reaction, and he says he's alive. He says, where is he? And we had a line in the script, and he said, well, he's at Our Lady of the Never Had the Pickle. And now, that's a very... Isn't that a funny... But Ricardo pointed out to us, he says, I think there will people who will take offense to the line. So Jerry and David just immediately said, well, we'll get rid of the line.
You're kidding.
And I take credit for the line that we put in, that I said, Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
That's how it is.
But isn't that a funny line?
What, Our Lady Who Never Had the Pickle?
Yeah. Our Lady of the Never Had the Pickle.
Very, very
you
funny.
You know, in Naked Gun 2... Priscilla's going to be back.
Presley,
And we're no longer together. Something's happened. Or something has come down. She's working at...
I thought we were negotiating. You said 5 minutes ago...
We are negotiating.
And now it's Priscilla and I are no longer together. It's a done deal. You're in this movie.
We'll see. Anyway, so...
we'll see.
So I haven't seen her for a year and a half, and I come in,
What do you want?
Never mind about that. So and all of a sudden, you know, George, my boss, wants to, you know, help me and not let me have the pain of this confrontation. But I say, don't worry. And I see her, and we're all of a sudden transfixed. There she is, and I see her, and I say, Jane. And she looks at me and she says, Frank. I said, how are you? She says, I'm fine, thank you. And how are you, Frank? I said, I'm fine. But so how are the children? She says, Frank, we didn't have any children. Oh, yes, of course. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that
very,
such
very
a
good? Very, very good, I'll tell you. And you do it very, very well. You see, you already know your lines.
Well, I know that, you know, you can't read that without having it turn over in your mind and you drive, and I think about reactions.
But what's great is that when you negotiate to do Naked Gun 2, you can read as you did tonight and show them how well you're going to do it, and you'll get scads more money.
Oh, I hope so.
You know, getting back to flatulation for a moment. Congratulations. Yes. It's funny.
Yes, it is terribly funny.
There is a whole underground. You know, books have been written, bootleg records have been made, movies have been made. Crepitation contest. And you told of a man who was popular in Paris, I don't know how many years.
Petoman. Yeah, Petoman. That was his name. And he literally had what was a physical thing that he was able to do. And
you mean he was able to pass gas?
He worked at the Moulin Rouge. And
he could do on cue?
At will. Oh, no.
You're kidding. Let her go at will?
And yes, and at anybody else who was standing around, too. I mean,
Jake.
He did incredible things, apparently, like blowing out candles and doing tunes. And he had, he wore these shorts or these kind of trunks or whatever with a finesse de brise, I guess they referred to it. And you had the aristocracy of those days. And this is going back, I guess, into the 1800s. And they would come and they would be terribly embarrassed. You know, and the ladies in those days, you know, they had skirts down to the, you know, the toes.
Right.
And it would take about 5 to 10 minutes before it just finally took its toll, and everybody is laughing. There's nothing you can do. It just becomes, you know, just one laugh after another.
It is funny. There's no question about it. I mentioned Geraldine Ferraro. Mm-hmm. People come in the studio, and I will use your device, which we ordered from your supplier, and they will say, oh, and they'll start laughing. And they'll say, Leslie Nielsen.
By the way, it's your trademark, you know.
This hallowed, this device is walking the hallowed halls of the House of Representatives, because I was up there, and I did at a golf tournament for Danny Thompson, the leukemia charity, and there were any number of congressmen there and senators, and I got a letter from one who has talked to the man who makes these in Oklahoma City, and now he's walking the hallowed halls.
Oh, really? Letting one go here and again.
Letting her rip. But it does get the subject changed around so you can begin again.
Now, have you found in your experience that guys tend to think this is funnier than women?
I find there are no rules. And I find that you can have the most elegant lady. Just depends on how daring you might be and how you choose your moments. But it doesn't make... I don't think there's any particular kind of person
you... Like if you were at dinner, what's the fanciest restaurant you can think of?
That I can think of?
Yeah.
I don't know them fancy restaurant.
But you know
what are you
like,
talking
you
about?
You know, a white table restaurant. Would you, you know?
I think you have to be a little careful when you're around food. But I try to, you know, think about those sensibilities. When people are eating, you don't want to stop them from having or enjoying the meal.
Of course not.
But there's pretty well...
But there's nothing like a preview, is there?
There certainly is. But I have, you know, I...
Where'd you stop for gas? Taco Bell, right?
Taco Bell, yeah. Over at High's in Century City, it's a very elegant restaurant. And as a matter of fact, I had one man in there, and when I think about it now, because he really was very angry with me. Really angry. Mm-hmm. And eventually when he found out it was just a joke and it was only meant in fun, and I had apologized to him too, incidentally, and because you feel you're playing I've Got a Secret and you're taking advantage of people.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that, and so I'm quick to show if I have to. But when he found out it was a joke,
and plus you don't want to fight, do you?
No. Oh no, I'm not, and I'm not looking to put down anybody.
Right.
I'm looking to have the fun of it.
Yeah.
And not to make anybody look stupid or...
When did you start doing that?
Yeah, his name is Jack Martin, and he's a senior golf pro in Oklahoma City, and I played golf with him. And one day he says, Leslie, I'm going to give you something to change your life. And he gave me one of these, and that began it. And you know, he happens to be right.
Yeah, yeah.
I was over in Hawaii, and I had this gift with me, and I was having so much fun the night before, and I had gone dancing a little, and it slipped down my pant leg, and I lost it, and I didn't have it, and I really felt now a tragic sense of loss. So when I got back to L.A., I called him, and I said, I want you to send me a dozen, Jack, because this is what happened. I explained to him.
Yeah.
And I said, and it fell down my pant leg, I guess, and I lost it. He says, you what, Leslie? I said, I lost it, Jack. He says, my God, you're out there all by yourself? So he sent me a dozen. And,
good show. We're talking with Leslie Nielsen, who's currently seen in the motion picture Repossessed, along with Linda Blair. It's a takeoff on The Exorcist. He'll be seen October 12th on the Showtime Comedy Channel, the 20th anniversary salute to comedy in National Lampoon magazine on Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be right back after a station break. You're listening to Service 60 WICC. Okay, we're back with Nestle. Leslie.
Just call me Murray.
Murray, right.
That's me. You heard Murray.
At 1-800-248-0852, that is the toll-free line. What do you do? It seems to me like you've had an awful long time between pictures as an actor.
You mean now? Yes. Well,
since Naked Gun is a couple years ago.
We have gone too long. It is their plan. I mean, if I'm doing the second one.
I know. That's
it is
possible.
Their plan to literally begin writing a third one while we are doing the second one. And that's perhaps how it should be, you know, to put the story together and so that you don't go more than a year.
But now, when did you do Repossessed? How long ago
was
that?
I did Repossessed about a year ago. So, I mean, in a sense, at least it's one picture per year.
And do you have anything else in the can, so to speak?
No.
I hate to mention that in this discussion.
Especially in view of our conversation.
Yeah, right.
Yes, I understand. No, nothing, but there are any number of things happening. And I guess it takes time after a picture like Naked Gun, which has been so successful. It somehow takes time for things to start to fall into place, and they're falling into place now.
When was Naked Gun? 2 years ago, right?
released December 2nd. 2 years ago.
I mean, that's a long time without a paycheck. Are you okay? We don't have to run a tag day for you or anything, do
I? No, I need money, Tom. Do you have any money you can send me, please? I mean, people aren't putting money in the old can anymore.
No, I don't live high on the hog, and my life is quite wonderful today because I've taken care of all of my responsibilities to my daughters and other people, and I don't have to answer the phone in the morning, and I don't have to get up.
Very good.
And I have very dear friends. I like hanging out with them. And
very good.
You know, if I sign something, I do it, but I don't have to do anything. And so, I really couldn't
have. That's wonderful.
It really couldn't happen at a better time of my life because I don't give a
Don't give a damn. Yeah. That's very,
okay.
Very,
if
very good.
You want to put it that way, that's different.
Hey. Right.
Sure, clean those things up, don't you?
Now, you mentioned Pigeon as the golden gentleman.
Yeah.
What did they call... he dressed like a Pierce arrow. You know who I mean?
Like who?
He dressed like a Pierce arrow. The actor. Oh, my goodness.
Jackie Gleason.
No.
That's a semi-arrow, yes.
He's dead now, God
Pierce
rest his
arrow.
Soul, yeah. Oh, I had his name.
You're better. You're not thinking of Cary Grant.
No. He dressed like a Pierce arrow. I'll think of it as we go along here.
Well, I'm certainly glad.
I hope so. Right.
Here's Arrow.
John in Providence, Rhode Island. Hello.
How are you doing? Hi, Les.
Okay.
Your work was so great in Police Squad. And I'm just wondering, who are some of the people who make you laugh? What are your favorite comedians?
I have a favorite comedian would be, I love people like, I love Walter Matthau. He's one of my favorites. Just a minute, I'm getting this. There you are. Getting this adjusted. Tim Conway, I love.
Conway's funny. Matthau, you have to think with him. You got to pay attention to Matthau.
Oh, but he's such an... He does drama and comedy. And he is an astoundingly talented man. I just... I really enjoy... I love Buddy Hackett. I think he's just a marvelous raconteur. I love just that that infectious man, Dom DeLuise. Just, you know, just his face. Just
yep.
The energy. It just...
Yep.
And the fact that I'm doing comedy now, and I'm referred to as a comedian, you know, to be placed in the group, I think is just such a compliment.
Pat in Cincinnati, hello.
Hi, this is Patrick O'Neill. Did you know that many thousands of people get minor aches and pain?
Thank you very much.
Minor aches and pain.
You know, Patrick O'Neill with that commercial. This guy, he's got the worst back of any actor in Hollywood, okay? John in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Okay.
Hi, Leslie. How you doing?
Hi. Who is the actor they said he dressed like a Pierce arrow?
You got me. I really don't know.
I got myself on this one, and it really is steaming me.
Couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Leslie, I just wanted to know, you know, a lot of comedians, guys that had done stand-up, like, you know, Michael Keaton, Steve Martin, Robin Williams, you know.
Oh, yeah. You can't remember, Robin Williams, you can't remember them all, and, you know, so you're always leaving out people that you respect and love. Robin Williams is astounding, Dan, mm-hmm. to see that Carnegie Hall performance, you know, the one-man show, I mean, incredible.
I was just wondering, you know, these guys all started out in stand-up and then, you know, have done some drama, and you've done the opposite. Did you do any stand-up in your, you know, earlier days?
I have not. I do a little stand-up in the comedy playoffs, you know, the Net Lampoon Showtime coming.
Showtime Comedy Network, October 12, 11 p.m. Eastern.
And I did an evening at the Improv where I wrote my own material and did it.
Showtime Comedy Network, 11 p.m. Eastern.
He's doing that again. I think it's so difficult and so I hate to stand up there literally and Buddy Hackett will get up and tame an audience of 10,000 and I mean literally tame them. It's so tough, I think. I think I would disintegrate. I've stayed away from it anyway, that's for sure.
Well, you seem like a natural at it, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in the next movie.
All right, John,
thank you.
John, who is the actor that they said he dressed like a Pierce arrow?
You got me.
This guy had a mustache on, a mustache.
Clifton Webb.
No.
And
Raymond Burr.
He was in all the movies. He was in the 30s and 40s was his big time.
Way before my time, Tom.
Okay, thanks, John. Bye-bye now, wise guy. Come on, help me out here. He was always the father of the bride. He was a very debonair, very, very sophisticated guy. And his name, oh, jeez, it's making me crazy.
Boy.
Give me some old actors.
Robert Montgomery, Robert Taylor, Clark Gable, Spencer Tracy.
Second banana. This guy was almost a character.
Phil Silvers.
No, I'll think of it in the break. We will continue with Leslie Nielsen, star of Repossessed, on Showtime October 12th. Coming soon in Naked Gun. If he makes the deal with Paramount, please God he'll make it. We'll be right back after these messages. I want to thank Grace and Char for calling in with the answer. It's Adolf Manju. He dressed like a Pierce arrow. That's what they said of Adolf.
I told you, it's not Pierce. It's pierced ear. Dressed like a pierced ear.
If you could get that funny.
Now, who is the one who dressed like a pierced nose?
I don't know.
You better leave that one alone.
Eric in Eugene, Oregon. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Schneider.
Yes.
How you doing?
Good.
Mr. Nielsen, just wanted to say I love your acting, and I hope you do that sequel to The Naked Gun.
He's in negotiation.
Me too, Eric, believe me.
Yeah. Everybody I know just loves you.
Well, thank you.
Okay, now I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Where can a guy like myself get one of your little toys?
Well, I'd be happy to give you his phone. Can we do his phone number over the air?
Well, he should really.
You know, I wouldn't do it because, you know, it's in the Oklahoma. I'm sorry, it's 681-1189, area code 405.
Yeah, I know, but you
Jack Martin, give him a call.
I bleep the number. I figure if Jack wants to sell these things, then he should cough up the money for the
but
time.
But he doesn't know. He's got.
Is that a real number? Or are you just putting me.
No.
I'll tell you what. I'm tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna put you on hold, and we'll give you the number to call privately. Okay.
Oh, okay, that'd be great.
All right.
Good thank idea. You very.
You already want one of these, don't you?
Yes, right. I do.
All right. Be careful now.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Where are you gonna use this thing?
Are you kidding? I'll use it in class. I'm a college student. I'll use it at work.
You can have so
I'll
much
I'll use
fun.
It at family reunions.
It's a lot of fun. All right, here you go on hold, and Mary Beth will give you the number.
What okay. are we doing?
We're
that's a man who realizes the potential. You know, you cannot put a price on the laughter, on a good laugh.
No, you cannot, by the way.
I had a wonderful thing happen to me 2 days, 3 days ago. A friend of mine in Houston had a stroke, and he really has been, can't talk. But his wife called me, and she says, I just want you to know that almost every day, I'll say, Joe looks at the picture, Naked Gun, and you've never seen a man laugh so much.
That's funny, yeah.
And just the idea that you've been part of the laughter, but part of the getting well, too, because laughter, I think, cures so many things.
Hey, listen, and who proved it? Norman Cousins proved it.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Did you see the picture Parenthood?
I have not seen it yet.
When you're running down to first and you feel a sudden burst, diarrhea. When you're heading round for home and your shoes fill up with foam, diarrhea. These kids sing the song in the car, and the mother and father want to shut them up, okay?
Oh, great.
Listen, I wish you get this picture done. I wish you well in your negotiations. I know you're going to be tough.
Oh, me tough.
Leslie Nielsen, thanks for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, the same here, my friend. Okay, thank you, sir. He'll be on the air Showtime October 12, 11 p.m. Eastern. He can be seen now in Restless and
Repossessed.
And Repossessed.
Yeah.
And Naked Gun is still on cable as well as it should be. Thanks for listening, all.